I'm a working man. I gotta pay my bills.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Oh, look at me! The millionaire who goes to see doctors!
You filthy animal.
What is this, a prey?
The game is cold, but it's crazy.
And don't you ever forget, you're free to do what we tell you.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
The only thing I think of when I think of my kids growing up in this country, if they say, Dad, what do we have left that's American-owned? And I say, son, I mean, there's not much to choose from, but that's what we have Pabst Blue Ribbon for.
Child, please.
You are listening to Pass the Gravy, episode number 62, I think. I'm not sure what episode you're on, but we've got another no-show by the other two members of Pass the Gravy, so I had to go into
I'm like the fourth string, aren't I?
You're not the
fourth string guest.
I have been trying to get you on the show for a while, and
yeah,
our schedules have not lined up.
Well, this guy flaked out. Oh, James, the backup.
Well, I had been wanting to have
you
on. I feel
like I'm Rudy at Notre Dame.
Rudy turned out okay.
I guess.
He turned out all right. It was a success story, I would say.
Maybe Disney will make a movie after me.
We've got James Simpson, the beer guru.
What's up, guys? Pass the gravy.
At James in the radio on Twitter.
Yes, please follow me. It gives me higher self-esteem, so my shrink says.
It's
true.
I figured that you were probably the best candidate to talk to this group of people that listen because we all enjoy drinking.
Okay, cool. I was about to ask, what's your listener base like? Is it very spread out?
You got
listeners in Pakistan and
a lot of Pakistan, maybe
three in Quebec.
A couple in Quebec. I think Australia. We've had a couple in Australia last time I checked.
But, I like the listeners down under.
I don't know how they heard of this, but
you know, it's funny if you put I don't know if you can really track this like with Spreaker or iTunes or anything, but if you put videos on YouTube, you can actually track the region that are viewing your YouTube videos.
Yeah, because we put music in ours, and sometimes we can't have them played. It'll say, in Norway, this video is not eligible, or whatever it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, so I put these videos up, and it's like I get these random views from why is somebody looking at this in Lebanon?
Are you speaking Dutch?
Yeah. So I don't know if there's really a way to track it with iTunes or Spreaker, iHeartRadio, but that would be interesting to see where people are listening to your show from.
Speaking of iHeartRadio, you can hear James' show, What's on Tap Radio, every Sunday at 3 p.m. Central Time on AM 950 KPHC or iHeartRadio anywhere you are.
Take us with you, wherever you
go.
All
of you Pakistanis, listen.
We're all available nationwide via iHeartRadio.
Worldwide, really, right?
Well, does it work in Canada or Mexico?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
We should get somebody to find out.
Someone tweet me at What's on Tap Radio and tell me whether or not you guys listen in North America, Canada or South America.
All right, why don't we just start right off then? And how does one become a beer guru?
You know, I just wanted to talk about beer. I love beer, and at one point on the station, it just flipped. This is a true story. The station just flipped, and this is kind of like inside baseball for those that aren't in the radio world. But when stations flip, a lot of advertisers pull because they're like, "Well, we don't know if we really want to be a part of the new lineup,"
mm-hmm.
And so there's always this. Jury, I don't really know, I'm going to wait. And what happens is, so we lose a lot of advertising, but we still got to fill the hour. So the bosses to be there, hey, you guys come up with some bits so we can fill, because we have to fill.
You can only,
they don't want to keep playing PSAs and promos every other spot.
Because they will really give you three PSAs, and then that's all you get
all
to
right,
hear.
You got your prostate PSA, your seatbelt, and, there's one about water safety.
It's kind of like if you have Apple TV, for those of you that may be listening, if you are playing anything that's running commercials, it'll run two commercials, or that ESPN3, they have two commercials because they don't really have anybody that buys up ads.
Yeah.
And that's basically the equivalent
of
that
radio. And so they had to fill, and so they are like, all right, kids, they're talking to us producers, they're like, all right, come up with a bit so we can fill. And I was like, oh, I like beer. I brew my own beer, so what if I come up with a home beer brewing tip? So I made this pitch, and I was like on PowerPoint, and I think I had fireworks and laser beams and
music.
And so I actually went to the boss's office and pitched this whole idea, what if I talk about home beer brewing tips? And they actually were like, yeah, that sounds cool. And I'm like, wait, what? Because all I had at that point was just a pitch. And they were like, yeah, I'll put something on paper and produce it and come back with it. I'm like, oh, I all I had was a pitch. So that's when the work comes in. You're like, okay, well. So I made these like really like super cheesy beer tips. And if you go back and listen to it, I always kind of compare it on the show. It's like, remember the Simpsons running on the Tracy Ullman show? They're like yellow and just like, that's kind of how my beer tips were at first. And then after a while, they just kind of molded into what started as like the National Enquirer into what I think is what we call it as GQ now. And it wasn't until like I teamed up with Outlaw Dave, where Outlaw Dave was like, hey, you're kind of like the beer guru. You're like, you know, the radio ambassador to craft beer. And I was like, I never thought about it like that. Because when I first got into radio, they were trying to give me radio names because James Simpson is not like the most sexiest radio name. And so they're like, what if they call you like James Lightning? I was like, well, no, I'm not going to call that. Or what if about your middle name? Because a lot of people in radio go by their middle names, like the first and middle name. And like James Lee, I was like, no, I don't like that. And then nothing really stuck. And so I was just James Simpson for the radio forever. And then Outlaw Dave was like, you're like the beer guru. And I was like, I kind of like that. And so I just rolled with it. And that's how it came to be. This is like back in like 2010 or 2011.
Isn't it weird, though, when you meet people that they go by their radio name and you don't realize that and you've worked with them for like 5 years? Like, I feel like I've been lied to this
whole
time.
There are a lot of people in this industry that when they get, you know, they move on and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember Blame Blank. And I'm like, no, I don't. Who? You know, Johnny X. Like,
oh,
wait,
that was him?
That was his name?
No, he never told me that was his name.
I never know his name was Eugene. Never knew that.
Super nice guy.
So that's, you know, kind of like, all right, so it stuck. And there I am, beer guru.
So how'd you get into the whole, like, you're obviously, I'm a fan of beer as well. But,
yeah,
but like, not to no extent that you are. And you just were like, I love beer so much, I just want to make my own.
Well, I got into beer late in the game. A lot of people get into beer when they're like in high school and college.
Hey, you don't have any underage drinking stories? That's what
I mean, I do, but nothing like that's really cool where like I'll like brag like, oh yeah, when I was like 19 or pounding beers with the best of them. No, I never really did. It wasn't until I started backpacking through Europe and I stopped at this European bar and God, for the life of me, I don't remember if it was Germany or Denmark, but it was just some like pub and it was hot. And I remember I just wanted a beer, just like, just give me a beer. I didn't care. So I asked the bartender, I was like, hey, can I get a beer? And the bartender heard my accent, and I was like, oh, this guy's American. And you know, the joke in Europe about American beer is that Mighty Python joke about canoes. Have you heard this joke? So the joke is, what do American beer and canoes have in common? They're both close to water.
Okay.
Actually, it's more expletive, but I don't know how deep we can go on the show.
You can cast as much as you want.
Okay, so yeah, it's basically like, it's like sex in a canoe. You're both doing it close to water. So the joke was, in Europe, is like American beer is like water. So this guy was like, oh, you want a beer? And I was like, yeah, I want a beer. You want a beer? And I was like, dude, you're scaring me. This is like this huge, like European rugby-looking guy. He's like, you want a beer? I was like, holy cow, dude, just seriously stop. You're scaring the shit out of me. And the guy turns around and just gives me this like huge beer. It's like just dark and it's like splashing everywhere. And like the whole bar's just looking at me. I was like, I don't even know how to go about drinking this.
Was it in a boot?
No, it was in a boot. That'd be a lot cooler if it wasn't a boot. But no, it was like one of those like huge mugs that you need two hands to drink because they're so heavy. And it was just dark and just like 10W30. And I was like, how do I drink this? And I can't not drink it because people were looking at me like, oh, stupid Americans. And so I drank it. And I remember drinking going, man, this is like the best thing ever. This beer is good. And from that point on, I think I was in Europe for like another 3 months. I was just hitting up pubs and breweries. Because I was like, man, what is this beer? This stuff's good.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's how I kind of fell in love with the whole beer scene.
That's probably like way, way different than most of the people. Like, oh, I went to a party in high school and just got hammered and was like, Keystone Light, baby.
That's how it was. I mean, I was like, dude, I was doing like 30-second keg stands with, you know, this domestic light beer. And then one day I just picked up a Sam Adams or I picked up a New Belgium. That's kind of like how most people's stories start. But for me, it was actually, I was just backpacking. And then I discovered like this beer has so much flavor to it. Because to me, beer was what they were advertising at Sunday football or NASCAR. Right. It's like, hey, this beer's less filling. And nah, to me, that's what beer was until I drank this thing. And I was like, dude, this is so much flavor. This thing is good. And I remember just drinking like one of them, just being like, dude, how the hell am I going to like get out of here? So like I was tore up. Like there's this old guy at the bar. And I remember he came in, like he was like 110 years old. And he got into the bar and he had a newspaper under his arm. He sat at the end of the bar and he ordered a beer, and same thing I ordered.
Einbeer, I believe.
Yeah, it was like an German. Einbach or Doppelbach. It was something heavy. And the guy's just drinking it. The guy drinks like four or five of them. And I'm just trying to suck down one of them. And then I remember the guy just gets up, pays his tab, and just gets on his bike and goes. And I remember just getting up just after one and like falling over the bar. I wish I had training wheels on the bike I was riding because I couldn't stand up on it or I couldn't even ride it. It's just amazing, like, the customs over there are so different from what they are over here.
I guess that'd be like learning what good wine was in France or something.
Yeah,
like kind of.
Because it wasn't like I was looking for, like, to be educated in beer. I just wanted something cold. I just, like, wanted something hot. It was so hot outside.
Yeah. This is a very unique intro to it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I remember just looking at it, like, man, that thing is intimidating. And it was so big. I wish I mean, this was in time before we had cameras on phones and stuff, but I wish I had a picture of it. It's just how enormous it was.
That's where it all started.
Yeah, it's like one of those beers that you see at Oktoberfest that they serve. It came in one of those glasses, but just
this
dark.
Stein, is that what it's called?
No, it wasn't a Stein. It was
the Stein is the one that you can open.
Yeah,
later,
open
right?
Close. But it was kind of like there was just a huge mug, and I think it was maybe like 32 to 40 ounces of beer.
Okay.
But that's how they drink over there. That's a beer to them. I'm like, oh, well, we have like these little cute like 16-ounce pint glasses. They have these huge, boom, these huge mugs. And this old guy is like 150, just drinks like seven of them and just gets on his bike and goes home.
It's safe to say they probably drink more than us then?
I would say so.
A tad bit.
Yeah, because over there, I don't think it's as taboo as, I mean, it's not as much anymore. I mean, people used to
They didn't outlaw it ever for a long period
of
time.
Yeah, because they have strict rules, which I agree they need rules, but over there it's like if a kid can see over the bar, they can drink.
Right.
You know, there's no really like age. There's no really MIPs over there, minor in possession.
Just don't be stupid.
Yeah, it's like just be responsible. And that's kind of what we preach on our show. We don't really talk about, because people listen to my show, like, oh, your show's about beer. You got to be talking about like beer pong and binge drinking. Like, no, that's not at all. We're a show about beer and the culture around it where we really talk about educational aspect of it, where we talk about pairing beers with different foods. We break down styles and the history of the styles. And, yeah, just tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
What I really like about your show, and you guys should definitely check it out, is I like that, like, I'm not, I enjoy drinking beer, but I don't know shit about it.
Yeah.
So you guys are very good at explaining it, and you use all of the terminology and everything, but you kind of make it dumbed down enough to where if you're just the average guy driving around in a car, you're like, okay, all right,
well,
that's
the thing, because the majority of my listeners are not beer drinkers. I mean, they like beer, but they wouldn't count them as like, oh, I'm a craft beer aficionado.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a small percentage of listeners of my show that are diehard craft beer people. But to me, my show, I write my show for the non-craft beer drinker because I don't want to overwhelm. It's kind of like if you listen to a finance show and they're just spitting numbers and
which most
stats.
Of them do.
It's like, dude, I don't want to tune into that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know. That's like economics where I was falling asleep in college. But so, yeah, I try to make a show where it's educational, where people who are not craft beer drinkers will be like, yeah, that sounds interesting. So we like to, like, pepper in, like, stupid criminal stories.
Yeah.
Stuff like that where the common listener will be like, oh, that's actually pretty good. And actually, I have a lot of people that call in, not to my show, but other shows I produce, and they're like, you know, I don't really drink beer, but I like your show. It's entertaining. And so that's the best comments I can get is people telling me that, hey, your show is really good, but I don't drink, but it's entertaining.
It's like a very good documentary you'd stumble upon on Netflix. You're like, all right, well, I'm not changing the channel.
Yeah.
You know, I like beer. That stuff's interesting. Oh, that's a funny story.
That's the thing is like people, they know what beer is, but do they know where it came from?
Right.
Do they know where the first beer was actually brewed? And they don't, but once they hear the story, they're like, wow, that's actually really cool. That's a cool story. Whether it's true or not, who knows?
Why don't you kind of tell us where like beer came from?
Well, there's this interesting documentary. Speaking of documentaries, it's called The History of Beer, and it's on Netflix. Maybe Amazon, but what I saw it was on Netflix. And the story they describe is that these ancient cavemen were grabbing grains. They were just putting grains in a basket, and then they left it out in the rain over time, and apparently there's like wild yeast in the air, and the wild yeast got into this wort, if you will, and it just fermented into beer, and they looked at it and like, oh, this smells good. They drank it, and all next thing you know, they're like, whoa, wow.
I'm feeling funny.
Yeah, I like this.
I should call my exes.
But that's what they say on this history of beer, and I've kind of done some research, and their story's kind of similar, and they're all kind of similar to that story, so that's the basic story I tell people. Is, yeah, they just These ancient cavemen that were farmers just pulled grain and put it in a basket and just left it out in the rain for over time, and then the wild yeast got into it. Next thing you know, they had this delicious barley pop.
How long do you think it took before they finally were like, all right, we can start just making batches of it?
I don't know. You know, that's a good question, because over time, I mean, it takes back to BC, beer does. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly how long people started discovering, going, wait. Because at first I think they were just like, this was a beverage from the gods.
Right.
Like, there wasn't actually any chemistry or biology in this. Like, they don't know how it was created. It was just from the gods. And so I don't know, from the actual point where they were like, well, if we added yeast to hops, to barley, and added water, we have this alcoholic beverage called beer. Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely dates back way before BC.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes way back.
You were saying that the Europeans kind of make fun of the American style of beer. Now, what is the biggest difference? Like, why is it watered down? Is it just so you can mass produce it?
Here's how it was. During the war, World War II and Prohibition, a lot of the breweries were getting their grains from Germany. Well, during the war, obviously that supply got cut off.
It's Nazi grain then.
Yeah, we're at war with them. And so they had to find alternatives. And so what breweries did is they found a source they called adjuncts. It's rice and corn. So they ultimately found a way to brew a beer that is without all the hops. And I mean, not with all the grains they have to get from, you know, overseas. That now they can actually do it here domestically. Mm-hmm. And so they actually found that, hey, it's actually really cheap and it's easy and it's actually really light in body. And after the war, you know, most breweries, and this was during Prohibition time, fizzled out. But a lot of these breweries, like the big guys, continued on because they had the funds, they had the, you know, the resources. And so they're like, well, why don't we just continue brewing with these adjuncts? And that's how it's been ever since. You know, American craft breweries are like, no, we want traditional style beers.
And stuff.
They want all 100% barley.
Can you not grow that here?
You can, but
they just didn't then.
No, you can. It's just you got to look at some of the parts of the country, the weather. You know, okay. There's a lot of grains that are grown in the Midwest. So yeah, it's actually there's a lot domestically, but they found, they realized, like, hey, wait a minute, we can actually brew with these adjuncts for half the cost of what it costs to get barley.
So they just cheaped out. They went the old American way, I guess.
That's the way a lot of the industry looks at it. But to me, it's like, if it works for them, it works. It's a business plan, and it works for them. You can't knock them for that.
Right.
I mean, I don't like their beer, but I can't knock their business plan because it's working.
Do you ever drink Bud Light? When was the last Bud Light you ever had? Or the last Miller Light or anything mainstream?
You know.
Is Pabst mainstream?
No, I'll go on the record that I do have a Lone Star in the back of my fridge every now and then.
Okay.
I'm not ashamed to admit that.
You're a Texan?
Yeah. Well, actually, we can talk about that.
You live in Texas?
We can talk about the Lone Star beer.
All right.
In Texas. But
is it not from Texas?
It's actually owned by Pass Blue Ribbon, actually owned by a Russian company now.
But it's not. I thought they didn't sell it.
You know, I don't know.
And I was proud.
It still hurts, damn it!
You know, we have the intro. We have Tom Raper talking about how it is the best beer in America.
You know, I thought about Tom Raper. When I learned that it got bought out, because you know what, he's an American,
he's
and
gonna be
damn
pissed.
It, he's gonna be real pissed because that's the only thing Americans own. It's Pass Blue Ribbon. I love Tom Raper.
What's one thing it's American, man? That's it. Son, there's not much. That's what we got Pass Blue Ribbon.
You don't
for.
ID him because he's an American.
He's an American citizen. You see right there, it says Wisconsin, United States of America.
So actually, no, the funny story is I actually tried to reach out to Tom Raper. I really did via Facebook.
You were the first person that made me realize that he was a real person. I thought that it was just a parody that somebody
or just
had
a
been
bit.
Doing.
No, I actually really reached out to him to get him on the show, and I never heard back from him. But
he's big time now.
But going back to last time, I remember, man, it's been a long time. I went to a wedding like maybe 2.5 years ago, and that's all they were drinking. And I think that I was just like, well, you know, what am I going to do? It's not like I can wheel a cat or a cooler into the wedding. Like, I got my own beer,
guys.
And
then you're that guy.
Yeah.
our beer's not good enough for you.
I think that was actually the last time. I don't remember. I think it was like a Miller Lite or something, but I don't know. It's been a long time.
Would you consider a Shiner?
I still say Shiner is a craft beer. Even though it goes behind what a craft brewery is defined as, I still consider them a craft brewery. I mean, they brew good beer. I mean, they win every year for their Bock, for the dark lager category at the Great American Beer Festival. So a lot of people like diehard craft beer snobs, which I, by the way, hate. Enough of the snob. I like a beer geek. Don't get me wrong. I'm a beer geek, but I'm no way a snob. But a lot of these beer snobs are like, Shiner. That's not a craft brewery. Dude, really?
My opinion doesn't agree with your opinion, so yours is wrong.
But look, I mean, they've put Texas on the map for beer.
Yeah.
So I don't knock them. I like Shiner. I do. Shiner puts out good beer.
All right. So to talk about, that's a craft brewery, and we were just talking about the big breweries. And I know that a lot of the big brewers are now trying to kind of get into the craft field.
Well, yeah, because they see some
of
their market shares.
They just buy it, right?
Well, that, and they noticed that a lot of their shares are like, wait a minute, what's happening? Like, it's slow. Don't get me wrong. It's very small, but still they're looking at it like, oh, boy, we got to do something about this. So, yeah, there are breweries getting bought out, and then they're also putting out their own craft portfolio. Like Shock Top is a good example of one.
Shock
Blue Moon.
And they're advertising the hell out of that.
Oh,
now.
Dude, I know, right? It pops up on my Facebook feed. Like, they have these like
72 in Shock Top.
Yeah, exactly. Same with Blue Moon. You know,
who owns Blue Moon?
Miller Coors.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know,
do you like a Blue Moon every now and then?
No, I'm not a big Blue Moon fan.
Is it the orange?
It's a beer. It's a wit. And for those that aren't familiar with a wit style, wits are typically, it's a wheat beer that's brewed with coriander and orange peel. And so they complement the beer with an orange. That's why when you're served a wit beer, if you order a Blue Moon at, you know, a restaurant or a bar, they'll typically put an orange on there to complement the flavors of the beer.
So were Dos Equis brewed with like a lime?
No,
peel?
That's just to cover up a nasty.
Is that
taste.
Really? Is that your, like, in your opinion? Would you say that a lot of times fruit is added just because it's shitty beer?
Yeah, I would say so. Because why else would you add it?
Why do I have to put salt and lime in?
It's
kind of
like taking
a good
steak. Why would you need steak sauce for a good steak? You know, it's like taking a good painting, like a Monet, and just like putting other paint on it. Like, why? It's a beautiful art right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes they add fruit to, you know, cover up the crappiness of the beer.
Okay, that's why I'd always wondered that.
If you ask somebody who's a diehard, like, you know, Mexican lager fan, and you're like, why do you, would you drink that beer without a lime? No, I don't want to drink without a lime. Or they'll order a beer at the bar and like say like the bartender actually forgets to put a lime on it. You know, they'll order, hey, can I get some limes? It's like they won't drink the beer until they had a lime to it.
Right.
Like, but why?
It's not good until
But a lot of, I've argued with people about that, and it's the same. People were like, well, what about coffee? And you add sugar to coffee, or you add a lemon to tea.
Mm-hmm.
So people, you know, they give me that argument.
I guess at the end of the day, it's all about preference.
Yeah, that's all it is. And I don't knock people if they want to order an orange. Well, right. I'm ordering an orange. What do I care?
Yeah.
But the snobs out there, they get fussy about it. So
now what about the mixtures of beers? Like they have the black and blue, and so like they have the Blue Moon with Guinness on top of
like
it.
Snake bites and stuff.
Yeah,
that's like, cool.
Are you into any of that stuff?
There's a bar in I want to say Nassau Bay. It's called the Mucky Duck, and there's a bartender out there that specializes in mixing. Like, he'll take an American IPA, India Pale Ale, and they'll take an English India Pale Ale and mix it together. So he makes all these cool beers. I like it. It's kind of cool. I don't knock it.
I had one at Specs one time that my girlfriend and I were just wandering around there. Specs is like a museum sometimes, but you actually get to buy what you're looking at.
Yeah, you definitely should shop at Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods, or shop online at specsonline.com.
Yeah, you should do that.
They sponsor my official brought to the table.
Just
gotta get that plug in there.
Right there. So I had one that was like a Coke float one. You're supposed to put Coke and milk with it, and it was like a sweet beer, and it tasted like it was just ice cream.
Really?
It was weird.
Huh. No, I've never seen that. But I've been to beer dinners.
It was odd.
They'll take a different style of beer, and they'll infuse it with ice cream.
So badass.
That's pretty cool, yeah. I mean,
beer goes with everything.
It does. It really does. And it goes better with food than wine does because there's so many different styles.
And what would be some good pairings?
A real easy one to do is, you know, we're coming up on barbecue season.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always suggest maybe like a good cream ale or maybe a lager or a Kolsch or a blonde. Now, when I'm saying all these styles, you're like, well, wait a minute. What are the styles? Say like a Bombshell Blonde by Southern Star Brewing Company. It's a great local beer brewed in Conroe. Goes great with a good hamburger, hot dog. First Street by No Label Brewing Company. Great beer for for, you know, hamburgers, hot dogs.
Yeah.
But if you want something that's maybe something to cut down on the spiciness of a dish, maybe like you're eating crawfish, maybe go with an India Pale Ale. It tends to be more bitter, but some of those bitterness or the hops kind of cut through the spiciness of some of the dishes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's really, it's fun to do with beer. It's just see if it works. Just order maybe spaghetti and then try to drink it with maybe an Imperial Red. See how, you know, the marinara complements the flavor of the red. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. That's how you just move on. You're like, oh, there you go.
Another beer that you had some left over. I came in here because, you know, James does a beer show, and so I'm like, hey, what's he doing?
It's kind of funny.
He's done.
How it
I'm
going
to come hang out.
And vultures.
How's it going, man?
I'll just walk by. Beer. What's going on in here? I noticed that happens, but I don't care.
And you had some, is it smoky beer? Or,
Rausch beers. Yeah.
Rausch beers.
Yeah.
And that tasted like something that I would want to have with barbecue because it kind of had that flavor left over. Is that another?
That's a perfect example. Yeah. A Rausch beer, which is what they do is they kiln the roast with over a hot fire pit and they roast it.
So you get the smoky.
So you get like a smoky taste to it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it complements barbecue dishes really well. And we've actually did that on the show once where we paired barbecue with it and it was just a match made in heaven.
It's got that, like, you know when you have cold brisket the day after and you still can taste the smoke on it? Like, after every sip, it doesn't ruin it and it tastes good. And then afterwards, you still have that, like, oh, I can still feel the smoke on my tongue.
Yeah, it's great. And that's the beautiful thing about beer is it's just so many possibilities you can do with pairing food with beer.
And there's some beers that you can drink 100 of, you feel like, and then there's some you're like, I want 2 of these and I'm good.
Yeah, we call those session beers. Beers you can have more than one in one session.
Is that what you think that you do mostly on your show, or session beers?
No, we dip into everything. But if I'm on a Saturday afternoon and I'm doing yard work, yeah, I'm going to have session beers. Session beers are typically lower in alcohol. They range from like 3 to 5% alcohol.
Really?
Yeah, so they're real light alcohol. And guys, if you drink a beer that's, you know, going at high 6-7% alcohol, yeah, you're gonna drink 2 or 3 and be like, yeah, you know, it's this lawn work and wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess I figured that a session beer would have been one with more alcohol in it.
No, because think about what a session is. Like, yeah, you're drinking more than 2 or 3 in a session, but always drink responsible.
Yeah, always.
Yeah,
always.
Yeah,
always call a cab.
Yeah, or Uber.
Uber.
See, you hear that, Uber? I just gave you a plug.
Give him some money now.
Scratch my back. That's all I'm saying. Scratch my back. They never do.
Yeah, they never.
Never.
Not one time.
Called Uber. I was like, yeah, you know, I plugged your service on my show.
I could send you an air check if you'd like.
Hook up a brother. Like, that was $17. You just drove me 30 miles, or I mean, 5 miles.
Yeah, it's a high demand area.
Yeah, well, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday.
Do you have a favorite beer?
You know, I don't. And I get that question a lot.
Just because you taste so many?
They're like, I have a favorite style. My favorite style is an India Pale Ale. But I don't have a favorite, what we call an island beer. An island beer is a beer, if you were on an island, if you were on Castaway, and you and Wilson were the only two on the island, and you could only have one beer, what would that beer be? I don't have that.
Just any IPA, yeah, sticky with one of those?
Yeah. Because you would think, like, if you were on an island all day and it's kind of hot, you would probably want something light-bodied and crisp. No, I want something heavy, just so I can drink, just pass out.
What's some good IPAs?
Oh, wow.
That you would say would be towards the top of your IPA list.
My favorite IPA is, it's called, it's Ballast Point. It's a brewery out of San Diego called Sculpin. It's my favorite IPA. It's so damn good. And for the longest time, you couldn't get it in Houston. You could only get it in Dallas. So I was like going up to Dallas just to pick it up. But then there's other beers like No Label has 11 Amp India Pale Ale. It's a Spinal Tap term. It's just so good. Just got great tropical notes to it. Another one of my favorites is Ballast Point. I mean, Too Hearted, Bell's Too Hearted, which is out of Michigan, which you can't get here. But we have this coworker who works at KTRH.
Nick Ragovich?
Yes. And he has ties to Michigan, and he mules that stuff down for me. Yeah, those are kind of like my top three. I mean, I can go on and on, but if I can have any three India Pale Ales, it would kind of be those.
What do you think about Yuengling? Is it Yuengling?
You know, Yuengling is actually, here's what people don't know about
Yuengling.
It's a
northern beer, right?
It's out of Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Here's a fun fact about Yuengling. It's the oldest brewery in the country.
Really?
Oldest brewery. They opened their doors in 1829.
Yeah. I did not know that.
And they are the top, they are the number one selling beer sales by volume brewery in 2014. Did you know that?
I have on this list. It is the
number one.
Number one of the top 50 U.S. Yeah,
it beat out
Boston
Beer Company. Boston Beer Company, which is Sam Adams. Yeah. Let's look at you doing your homework. Yeah.
Shiner. Shiner came in at five.
I'll tell you a funny. It's another big company. Shiner's great beer. I'll tell you a funny story about Yuengling. So my brother-in-law and my sister lived in Philadelphia for a while.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. I know, especially because he's a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. It made it very awkward when he went to work. But he fell in love with Yuengling, and he eventually got a job transfer back to Houston, but realized that you can't get Yuengling in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did his homework, and he found the closest place he can get Yuengling to Houston is in Mobile, Alabama. And so every Christmas break, my family lives in New Roads, Louisiana, which is right outside of Baton Rouge. So we always kind of spend Christmas at my parents' house. And we'll take a day trip from Baton Rouge to Mobile, Alabama. And I should show you a picture. He stocks up on Yuengling. He gets kegs of it. And just he pretty Keep much them. Buys him out on Yuengling. And so if you go to my brother-in-law's house, he just has just shelves of Yuengling.
Just ready to drink.
Yeah, and pretty much lasted him an entire year, because when that year's up, boom, we go back to Mobile, Alabama. And we always kind of kid on the show. It's like, what is the longest you've ever gone on a beer run, driving-wise?
That's it.
Yeah, so we go to Mobile, Alabama, which is I can't get Bell's Too Hard, which I talked about when I get from Nick, but you can get it in Mobile, Alabama. So I stock up on that. So, yeah, we do some
it's a collection trip.
Yeah, it's some eastbound and down.
Yeah.
Loaded up in the truck in. Yeah, that's our ultimate beer run. But yeah, I like Yuengling. It's a traditional lager. Like, if you want to taste what a lager tastes like, try Yuengling. Now, there's other lagers, you know, Dos Equis is a lager, Heineken. But I think a real, like, authentic traditional lager is Yuengling.
I was up in Salisbury, Maryland, because my dad grew up there, and Yuengling was, like, what they would drink. Because it was cheap beer when they were in high school and everything. And he was telling me how funny it is now that the price has gone up, because it's like, oh, nope, now it's in demand. We like it, and it's good beer.
And they can
high
do
class.
It.
And so it used to be the cheapest of the cheap ones, and then now we're it's high demand beer.
It is high demand. And it's funny, is if you talk to a local who lives in Pennsylvania and all that, they're like, we don't really drink Yuengling. Like, I remember I was at the Great American Beer Festival, and I was at this bar at a brewery, and I was talking to this guy, and he has this thick, like, Pennsylvania accent, and I was talking to this Yuengling story about how my brother-in-law goes to Mobile, Alabama, and he's like, really? That stuff's like, that's what we drink at, like, our, you know, fraternity parties.
Yeah.
Man, I want to go to your fraternity parties.
That sounds like a good
but
party.
But to them, that's just, you know, it's
cause they
don't,
have it
yeah,
all the
just
time.
They have it all, and they don't care. Like, they don't really care for it, but I like it.
Have you ever been to North Carolina or the Carolinas?
No, I've never been to the Carolinas.
Cheer wine. It's a soda, and it's awesome, but they don't really give a shit about it. Did you find it in that region.
They just released this beer in Houston. I think it's called Krabby's. It's a ginger ale beer, I think.
What?
Don't quote me on that. I got to look it up.
For when you're sick, right?
I don't know. It's like, I think it's brewed with ginger ale, and I kind of wish I did my homework on that. Before I'm telling people right now that Krabby's is a beer about ginger ale, I'm going to look it up right now.
What's the weirdest beer you've had?
I don't know if it's the weirdest beer, but the most like disgusting and like god awful
beer
is a beer called Ghostface Killa. And it's not a beer dedicated to the Wu-Tang Clan. It's a beer actually brewed with ghost peppers. And it's like the
with
hottest.
Ghostface Killa.
Yeah. It's the hottest beer, I guess, that's actually brewed. And it's just the most god-awful thing. You can take one like sip of it, but that's it. It's that terrible.
Do you like jalapeno beers?
No. I'm not a big pepper beer. Well, yes and no. It depends on the beer. Now, No Label does a beer called Don Jalapeno.
That's the one I
And
had.
I do like that one because they don't just – it's not punch you in the face.
But still,
jalapeno.
It's one of those where I only want one maybe.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure. It's not one you're drinking seven of them on Sunday watching football.
And don't drink it with something that's spicy that you're eating because you're just going to hate it. You're
yeah.
Gonna hate yourself.
I definitely would encourage definitely don't do that. But, yeah, when people think of jalapeno beers, they think of – oh, it's going to be super just hot and spicy, but they really, they got that one down. And so you'll take it, you'll drink it, and then you'll taste the jalapenos on the finish, and it's kind of subtle. But you get that little punch, but it's good. But I'm not the biggest fan of pepper beers, no. I used to homebrew with this guy named Eric, and he was all about brewing pepper beers. And I remember we went to this homebrew festival, and he brewed it, and he just made it as stupid hot as he could. And I remember this guy came up to me, and he drank it, and he looked at me, and he was like, "Why? Why? Why would you do this?" Like, he was just, like, sweating. I was like, "Yeah, I don't know, man. That's you, dude."
Bad news.
Sorry, man. It's a rule on my show, too. Never turn the... always turn the damn phones off. Yeah, so Krabby's, it's a beer. It's a ginger beer. Okay, so there you go.
All right.
It's a ginger beer. I never had it before, but as you see, like, they have, like, limes and stuff on it, by it.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's what I was talking about. It's like soda and beer. I don't know.
I know you are on a tight schedule, so...
No, I got some time.
You got a couple minutes?
Yeah, I got some time.
All right. Well, do you want to do the... this? Well, definitely, I want to have you back on the podcast because I only...
It's going to be like, 235. Welcome back.
Yeah, when we finally get around to it again.
That's cool.
But yeah. I don't know. My co-hosts have not shown up. Curtis, by the way, has done two episodes this entire 2015 year. So
that's not really much of a co-host. That's more of a guest.
Former co-host somebody, slash guy that shows up sometimes.
I guess.
He does have a difficult work schedule, but
I think
still,
if he was really diehard about doing...
He was dedicated. Like me.
He would tell his boss to take this job and shove it. I got this podcast.
That's paying me
I got
no
a future.
Money.
Hey, it's kind of like starting a band in a garage, yeah. You know?
You gotta start somewhere.
Or a brewery. It's like, hey, I'm going to quit my job as an economics professor and become a brewer.
Yeah. Or lawyers. As a teacher.
Or
and,
teachers.
Sell meth.
I would go to the meth aspect.
It worked out for Walter White?
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
not
did it really,
really
though, in the end?
I don't think so.
Spoiler alert.
I think you're supposed to say it at the beginning, but oops.
Not me.
Don't watch Breaking Bad now.
Yeah, you might want to dump that.
We don't have a dump button. This is a podcast.
That's what I like about podcasts.
James, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You happen to do any online shopping ever?
You know, I do, only when it comes to the holidays, and I'll tell you why, because I don't like mall traffic.
I don't like mall traffic even
mall
when
traffic,
it's not the holidays.
And I don't like being around a lot of people.
But you know what I do like?
Outlaw Dave can wait.
Just blowing up his phone.
Jesus,
James
people.
Simpson is a very popular guy. You know what I do
Sorry.
Like, though, is Amazon.com.
Yeah, I like Amazon.
And I think
I'll tell you a good thing about Amazon, is you can find everything on Amazon, it's cheap.
You can.
It's and cheap. It's affordable.
You know what's even greater about Amazon now?
What's that?
That if you're listening to our podcast, all you have to do is go to just get rid of Amazon on your toolbar and just make it replaced with pastthegradepod.com and go on pastthegradepod.com when you want to go to Amazon, click our Amazon link, and order your shit.
It's like two birds with one stone.
Costs you nothing, and it gives back to the podcast
Wait,
that you
why
love so much and
are
listening to. They are, but just keep doing it. I'm just letting them know.
That makes a lot of sense.
It takes one extra click. You just pass thegradepod.com, click the Amazon link. Doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't add to what you buy. You buy exactly what you're going to buy. Just gives us like 2 cents for whatever you order. And goes back to keep some wind in the pirate ship.
You know, I like that. You know, you're listening to a podcast. You're like, you know what? I want to browse. I want to go shopping online.
We don't want you to donate to us. Just
go on there.
It's like saying, hey, thanks, guys.
You know,
thanks
the last thing I bought on Amazon? It was probably about 3 to 4 months ago, I bought The Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. Have you seen
really?
That documentary?
I have not.
Oh, boy. That's a good one. Definitely check out The Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. Oh, boy. That is a true redneck documentary, speaking of documentaries. But, yeah, I bought it on Amazon because I couldn't find it anywhere. And then it had Amazon. I think I bought it for like $7.99.
West Virginia. Amazon does have everything. West Virginia doesn't have a lot of things.
Yeah. They got a lot of Mountain Dew.
They do.
Yeah. They drink a lot of it.
All right.
And drugs.
We have a couple of segments we do each week.
Okay, what you got?
Our first one is called Not Cool.
Oh, I can tell you a lot of things aren't cool.
And that's basically something that just happens throughout the week that, you know, you would say, that's not cool, dude. Don't do that. Now, I'll start us off.
Okay, I got one for you.
Mine is, I have this neighbor that lives below me. Now, I'm not going to say I'm a quiet neighbor.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I live above you, but I walk.
So you hear the thump,
I don't,
thump,
yeah. I don't try and stop, but, I mean, occasionally.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be loud. And I have a dog that's loud sometimes, but this lady is not quiet at all. I always hear her TV on.
Oh, her TV.
I can always hear her slamming cabinets and stuff. And I understand. I live right there, and I live in a shitty apartment. So, like, I'm not expecting it.
The walls are uber thin.
Yeah, I don't expect it to be quiet all the time. And so she had sent, I guess, her boyfriend up Friday night, and had said that I had been drilling and was telling me that I asked me if I could stop drilling. I was like, that's cool, but I'm not drilling.
Yeah, I'm not building
like,
a clubhouse up here.
I don't know what you think I'm doing. And like, whatever drill, like I have a tiny little drill, but it would not be making a lot of sound unless I was just hammering it into the ground. And
you don't have to
like,
bid for 5,000.
Right. And I was like, I'm not drilling, dude. So I don't know what you want me to do. He's like, oh, okay. And so then the other day, this lady comes up on Monday. It just was telling me, well, I don't know what you're doing up here, but I just want to let you know that you're loud as hell. And I was like, okay. She's like, well, my friend came up and told you that you were drilling and asked you to stop. And he said you told him you weren't drilling. I was like, I told him that because I wasn't drilling. And like immediately, so she's just doubting whatever I had said and basically calling me a liar. And I was just like, you're loud as fuck, lady. Yeah. I have not said one thing. And she's like, well, next time I'm going to record it and I'm going to take it to the front office. And I was like, do it.
You know what's funny?
Go ahead.
Because we're audio engineers, I would say. What if you try to record somebody? It doesn't do us justice. And so if you take it to an apartment complex, the front office, like, look how loud it is. Like, I can't really
And
hear.
Also, like, we can audio engineer shit probably way better. And I can put it with some video.
Oh, yeah, and amp it up a little bit.
Are you screaming and playing music? Yeah. What the hell was her problem?
Some, yeah, they're like, I heard gunshots. But, dude, apartment living's terrible, but, dude.
I mean, I'm cool with you saying, hey, man, you're being a little loud. Do you mind being quiet? And she was basically calling me out because I work Rockets games, so I work at night, and I'll come home late. And I guess when I come home late and let my dog out and whatnot, it makes some noise. And she was bitching about that. I'm like, look, I have a different schedule than you. Go fuck yourself. Like, you lived on the second floor. I live on the third floor. That's why I don't live under people.
I lived in an apartment. Oh, we all did. But there was this young couple that lived above us. And they had sex a lot.
Good for them.
It was good for them. But the funny thing is, and it was only like 8 seconds. It's the funniest thing. So like, it'll be like 2 a.m. because they always went to bars, and they would come home, and like you would hear them like kind of shuffling around. All of a sudden, you'd hear her moaning for like 8 seconds. It was the funniest thing. I got the biggest kick out. I was like, oh my God, dude.
Could you tell if you ever had whiskey dick?
I don't know.
That's been 5 minutes.
But they had sex so many times, but it only lasts like 8 or 9 seconds.
It's longer than some people.
Yeah, but I remember those. Oh God, I hated those. Like they would knock on the. They would use like the broom. Do, 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 do.
Yeah, that's what my neighbor was
like,
doing.
What? Are you serious? It's worth. Yeah, if you have pets, yeah, that's bad. I mean, because like the pet, the dog's not trying to be loud. It's just jumping around. And,
right.
But for some reason, like apartments, it just amplifies like boom, boom, boom. Like you're moving couches and furniture around. When people. I mean, what time of day is this? Is this like 2 a.m?
No, it's like 10:55.
All right, lady,
come on. And it wasn't like, I was never playing music, and I'm never blaring any noise or anything. It was all just coming from us. And so I went like to try and get ahead of the situation. I went to the front office the next day. I was like, my neighbor came up and just being very hostile, saying I'm being loud, but I'm not doing anything. And I'm kind of cool with the lady at the front desk. She's like, baby, are you playing any music? You doing anything loud? And I was like, no, like I'm not having parties or anything. And she's like, oh, well, they're going to have a police officer come hear the actual noise themselves before they can do anything. And I was like, okay, cool. So then I was like, all right, well, good luck with that, lady. And so that wasn't that great of a story. But that was not cool to come bitch while you're also being loud.
It's not really cool at all. Come on, lady.
You have anything?
You know, honestly, I do. A pet peeve of mine, this just happened to me on the way over here. I had to stop at the CVS and when I picked up a vitamin water. I never understand this. When we're in line and there's like somebody in front of me, I always give them like 3 feet of space. But I never understand why the people behind you have to be like literally right up on you.
Yeah.
And it also happens at grocery stores and it just drives me crazy.
When they put the basket like right at your feet?
Well, they'll on the conveyor belt. You know, you put the marker thing down, and then you put your food, and they feel that once they put their food on the conveyor belt, they have to walk with it. And so literally, like, you're, you know, punching in your PIN code or whatever to do the transaction, and they're, like, right next to you. It drives me crazy. You know what I started doing? Is, like, I'll kind of, like, back up a little bit and act like I trip over. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
That's a good idea.
I don't understand, because you can just, like, breathe, like, feel them breathing down your neck, but it just drives me nuts when people... Just why do they feel they have to be like right on you?
You know what another good one is to fend them off is the fake sneeze.
Yeah, or cough.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Sorry, I'm very sick. I have the flu.
But like why? People, if you're standing in line at a grocery store or CVS, Walgreens, whatever it is, give the person in front of you like 2 feet of space.
I don't like what are you accomplishing? You're getting there a half a second early? Like you don't have to you're still waiting in line.
Yeah.
You're not going to get served faster.
But this just happened to me, and I didn't actually do the whole move where I tripped on them, but I've done that in the past. Like, I'll be at a grocery store, and they're right behind me, and so I'll act like I'm like picking something up, and I'll fall over, mm-hmm. and I'll fall on them. And I'm like, oh.
Sorry, you were a little close there. Whoops.
Maybe if you weren't, like, I don't know, on my ass, you wouldn't be falling over with me.
Yeah, people do that at ATMs, too.
Yeah.
It's like, and dude, that's even creepier.
You got to get your PIN code, and the next thing, you just got this guy standing right.
Are you looking over my shoulder, man?
You just hear this. You go, like, dude, are you serious?
Give me 1 second.
That drives me crazy. And another thing that drives me crazy is people yelling at my kid. Okay, so I was at a brewery this past weekend, and I know that we're running low on time, but I was at a brewery this past weekend, and my kid, we go to breweries all the time. My kid has been to like 5 different breweries. And one of the things he likes to do is climb up on the tanks. They have like these ladders. And it's not a big deal. The brewers don't care. I mean, they're not brewing then. It's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah.
So we're at this brewery at Southern Star this past weekend.
Obviously, you would know it too. Yeah, exactly. Since you go to breweries all the time.
I was at Southern Star Brewing Company, proud sponsor with On Tap Radio. Listen 3 to 5 Sundays, KPRC AM 950. And my kid was right there. Next, like 5 feet away from me, and I was standing next to the owner of the brewery and one of the marketing reps, and I was standing a couple close to some other friends, and I'm watching my kid just go up and down. And
was your friend drunk? Because you could have had to watch
him. Maybe. No, not that point of the day. And then the owner of the brewery just watched my kid too. No big deal. Didn't care. So here comes this random lady and goes, excuse me, young man, you need to get down from there. Just some random lady. And my son looks at her. And he does this weird nervous thing. He sticks his finger in his mouth when he's nervous.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, he puts his finger in his mouth. And so I immediately know, okay, something's up. And so he looks at her, and he looks at me, looks at her. And she's like, you need to get down, son. You need to get down, young man. And I was like, you know what, ma'am? He goes to breweries all the time. He's fine. I'm his father. And she looks at me, and she is like, well, I guess. And just walked off. I was like, that bitch there.
You just wanted to have some sort of authority.
Dude. If I thought at any point my kid was going to get hurt, I would have got him down. But he's been at like 4 or 5 breweries. He does it all the damn time.
Right.
They're like 5 or 6 steps. It's not like he's climbing up a 30-foot ladder. It's 5 or 6 steps. And he just goes up and down, up and down, up and down. And he likes to do it. It's fun. But this lady started yelling at him. Luckily, I was standing right there, but lady,
not
come on.
Cool.
Not cool, damn it. Oh, God, it pissed me off. My wife was there too. And I told her that, and she's like, oh, hell no. I'm going to pull a razor out of my titty. I'm going to slice a bitch.
Someone.
I'm going to cut somebody. But I don't know. It's just some random lady. She had no affiliation with the brewery. She just happened to be there and felt that she had to.
I just want
to
be a cop.
She had to, like, parent my kid. So.
All right, somebody's got to do it.
So there you go. Yeah, that drove me nuts.
Right, well, if you've got a couple more minutes, we've got
our answers segment where our listeners
send us in the big questions.
Okay.
About life or whatever it is. Sometimes not.
You need
really
some like spiritual advice. Mm-hmm. I can take you down that road.
All right. You want to start off with Jason Gruno's question.
What's up, Jason?
He says, high fives. Really just shadow puppet slaps?
That's a good point.
I could see that.
I like a good
behind
high five,
the scene
though.
Slap from a shadow puppet. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with high fives.
You know, high fives is like a way of like rewarding somebody without actually having like a monetary
value.
Like,
I don't
value.
Have to give you a present.
Yeah, it's just like, boom, high
dude,
five.
You did a great job. It gives you almost the same feeling.
And you feel
sometimes.
Like, hey, wow, that guy really appreciates me. He gave me a high five.
That's a pretty cut and dry answer right
very
there.
Good.
That was
a
very good question, Jason.
Good job, Jason. Way to bring it.
Lyle Douglas says, going cold turkey. How the fuck do we start saying that? How the fuck did we start saying that?
Where did coming up with going cold turkey? That's a good one.
See, a lot of times they don't tell me the thought process that goes into these questions. I just get what's left.
It's like, where do we come up with the term?
Like saying I'm going cold turkey is, I guess, what he's meaning?
Do we know that? Has anybody ever looked that up? Or is this just one of those things? It's like some guy was just randomly just, you know what? I'm done drinking. I'm going to quit cold turkey. Huh. That's a stupid term, but it sticks.
And
we're going to roll with it for the
next
700 years.
He went cold turkey on cigarettes, man.
Yeah. He quit.
That's a good term. Yeah, I'm going to go cold turkey too.
Maybe they used to drink wild turkey hot. And then they're like, you know what? Or maybe they used to drink it cold. I'm like, no, I'm going to quit. That crash and burn.
Quit cold turkey.
I crash and burned on that bit.
Well, he could have originally quit cold turkey.
I can accept the fact that all of what I say is not winners.
Most of what I say is not a winner ever.
So. All right, I'm gonna come back with that one. Cold right. turkey.
Yeah. What if you're addicted to cold turkey and you want to quit it without having?
I know, like you don't like Thanksgiving dinner, like when it's fresh out of the oven. You're like, hey, can you throw that turkey in the freezer for a little bit?
Can you cool it down?
Yeah, way too hot.
I want to ask people that at a restaurant. Just like, can you send that back and put it in the freezer for like 5 minutes? Just bring it right back.
I like cold turkey.
All right, Jesse McShay.
What's up, Jesse?
Says, cup holders. Just cups for cups?
Good point. But it's holding a cup, though.
But is it a cup within a cup at that point?
Could you literally pour your beverage into the cup holder?
I think so. With mine, I know if I poured water out, it would stay.
But I couldn't because I have that thing for like if you put coffee, a coffee mug in there, and it has a little pot or part for
it. It kind of expands.
Yeah.
And like it's open.
Yeah, it's open. So you get the coffee holder, or what do you call that? The grip of the coffee
yeah,
mug.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's just so it can hang out.
You guys all have cars, just know it.
Yeah, so I don't think that it would work in my car. Like it would just spill. I mean, maybe you can get like an ounce.
Maybe it's just like a shitty cup.
Yeah, I guess if you're taking like a shot of something, you can use your cup holder. I don't know how. You use a straw, I guess. There you go. Good way to look at it.
What is the worst product ever? That's from Haley Cowgill.
The worst product ever? Ooh.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Why are you getting all really deep?
I don't know. That was like, that's like the only serious one in the whole group.
I know. I don't know.
I would say the McRib, but sometimes I'll eat a McRib.
People like McRibs. There's a cult following for them. Yeah, you can't say a McRib because you're going to get like people beating on your door.
Yeah, I don't know what the worst product is.
There's a lot of bad ones out there. It's all the ones that you see like as seen on TV at the grocery or at Walgreens.
ShamWow, maybe?
Yeah, it's like, dude, and you buy it and it just doesn't work like it does on the commercial.
Those like knives where they're like, we can cut cans. You're like, yeah, but just... How do I know that that's the knife I'm going to buy?
But you can cut the muffler off your car and then fillet a fish with the same knife without
sharpening.
Why?
Do you wash it? It seems dirty.
And why would you cut the muffler off your car?
Now what do I got to go buy a new muffler now.
It's like after I steal someone's catalytic converter, I go and fillet some fish.
Good thing I don't have to ever buy another knife again.
Yeah, thanks, Chef Tony.
So I'm not sure what the worst product ever
is. I don't either. I don't know.
We'll come back to that one, maybe. My final one, though, is from Brett Recco, and he says, skis, just Nordic clown shoes?
Good point, because I know that sometimes you need skis just to walk in the snow, walking across the frozen tundra.
I like those
you can't walk with Air Jordans.
They're like tennis rackets.
Those are cool.
That would maybe be one of the most useful products ever.
How did they come up with that? Like, what if we just tie tennis rackets to our shoes?
That's probably exactly where they came up with it. They're like, well, I don't have any shoes that are going to break down enough snow. We got these fucking tennis rackets. You don't play tennis.
It's like that joke that Mitch Hedberg came up with about why they started making, what are those potato chips that come in the can? The Pringles?
Yeah. there was a chip factory, they ordered tennis, or there was a tennis ball factory, and then they got potatoes, and they're like, what the hell fuck it, chop them up.
What the hell are we going to do with these potatoes? Yeah, cut them up. How did they come up with the products?
He actually died on March 30th, so we are just passing the anniversary.
Is that right? It was like a while back, too. I remember, I used to watch him at the Laugh Stop.
Really?
He used to be off of West Green.
I never got to see him. He's my favorite comedian. Him and Bill Hicks.
He used to Yeah, I love Bill Hicks, too.
Those are one and two.
I think they're working. Aren't they working on like a documentary or something about Bill
they
Hicks?
They have it. It's on Netflix.
You know,
I
learned something about Bill Hicks is he went on the Tonight or the Late Show with Dave Letterman.
And they cut it.
And they cut it.
And then they re-released it later.
And he never he never bounced back from that.
Yeah, well, he was kind of... That was kind of towards the end anyways. I guess that was his last appearance on Letterman for that reason also. But
I'm a huge stand-up comic fan. I love stand-up
Who are your favorite comics?
My favorite is, I love Ralphie. Just because
Have you seen his new one?
I have not, but I heard it's not that good. I've been disappointed.
It wasn't his best. It wasn't as good as Ostentatious, but it was
My favorite comedian of all time, rest in peace, was Patrice O'Neill. I used to see Patrice time he came in town. And we used to, when I was producing Outlaw Dave's afternoon show, we would always get him in studio.
And you're an O&A guy, too, so he was always
I loved hearing him on O&A. Yeah, a lot of the comics I like are, the East Coast comics. Like, I love Colin Quinn, Bobby Kelly.
Fuck yeah, Bobby Kelly.
Just those guys. A lot of the East Coast guys. But there are other comics that are, from the South. Like, I love, even though, Rob Mongold's just, a crazy
friend of the podcast,
flaming atheist liberal. He's just the funniest dude,
and he's so
funny.
He can give you a million stories.
Yeah, same with Slade Ham.
I haven't had him on yet,
dude.
But I want
Slade,
to.
All the Whiskey Brothers.
I want to get all of them on. I think it'd be cool to have them all.
I didn't get a chance to go out to the special. They taped a special at House of Blues. I didn't get a chance to go out there just because I had family in town. But I'm so bummed. But I can't wait. They're working on it. It's going to be released pretty soon.
You know who else is really good? It was Texas Outlaw. Was Andy Huggins. Andy Huggins.
Who's Andy Huggins?
He's back with Hicks and Kinnison and all them.
Oh, I saw him.
He opened up for Kyle Kinane when he was in Houston a couple weeks ago. And he's old and he's still got it and he killed.
You know what? Yes, he is funny.
He's been on Outlaw Dinner Show.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, it took me a second.
For those of you who don't know, James produces the Outlaw Dave Show on KPHC.
Yeah, he actually just called me like in the middle of the podcast.
On weekends.
Yeah.
That's how we have that connection.
But that's what I like about Outlaw Dave Show is he gets a lot of these comics in.
Right.
If you listen to a lot of the mainstream morning shows, it's always they get like the big comics in. Like
they don't really care, and you can tell the comic's not into it because they're just doing a morning radio like every station.
It's like that bit that who was it, David? Oh man, who came up with that? It was like, was it David Cross? Is that his name? The comedian
from Arrested Development?
Oh man, I forget his name, but he talks about crap. I should do my homework like you do. No, he does.
You had no idea it was going to come up.
He did this. I know it's true. Just in case this may come up, random stuff to talk about.
There's 100 things.
He talks about this bit about doing morning radio. And how it's like the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Just because.
I think Patton Oswalt does a bit on that too.
See, Patton Oswalt's another. If you don't follow Patton Oswalt on Twitter.
And his brother. His brother is just as funny as Patton.
Is that right? Dude, Patton Oswalt's a good person to follow on Twitter. But yeah. So he talks about it's like the same morning show wherever you go. Like they're wearing Hawaiian.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, you got one guy named Bear. And you got another guy who's like, all right. It's just the funniest thing because it really puts things in perspective. Because if you listen to a lot of these comics. On podcasts, they talk about that. It's like the worst thing in the world. They got to wake up at 7 in the morning, and obviously these jocks don't care. They just wrote, hey, funny man, tell a joke.
And they're just trying to intro them into bits that they're going to do later that night. It's like, why am I going to do this if I'm going to do it later tonight?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't want to do your fun at the courthouse bit. No. Going back to the stand-up comedy, I just love stand-up comedy because I think it's still the one thing. But even though they're starting to get attacked, it's like the one place where they can get away with not being politically
correct. They shouldn't
be
attacked, and they're not rightfully attacked, I don't think, ever, because it's a thought, and you can't ever censor thought.
But you have these people that go out to the comedy clubs that don't frequent comedy clubs, and they're like, oh my God, I cannot believe that anti-Semitic joke he said. And they're like this formal complaint.
And
like,
get up and leave.
Exactly.
It's the same with radio. Like when you complain about a radio host, turn the channel to another channel.
They don't understand
that.
They don't get it. They're like,
and it's like it's
I
right
can't.
There.
It won't let me. Really? You can't turn the seek knob? But yeah, but I think it's just that it's still that one place where people can still have the freedom of speech. Like they can still get away. Now, obviously, you had stuff like what's his name from Seinfeld?
Kramer.
Yeah, who is? I mean, that's drawing the line.
A little racist.
But if you know that the comic is going to say jokes like that, just be prepared. But yeah, they're being attacked though. They are slowly they're coming into the comedy clubs, and I think when they do that, it's just they kill everything.
Comedy's still gonna live on though. It'll still live.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just a huge fan of just watching good comics.
Yeah.
You know, just
well now that like we could probably put together another 5 shows. So I'm probably gonna ask you to come back on this.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
could probably
I would love
not
to.
Be the last of.
I know
James
I got
Simpson
my
here.
Phone.
He's got a,
my phone number stops ringing.
He's
and,
very busy.
But, yeah, it's just, if you get a chance to check out, let me plug, I like to plug the Whiskey Brothers, because they're a great to listen on iTunes. They have like a million hits on
subscribe
iTunes.
Subscribe to it.
Yeah. But, yeah, you should get them on the show if you get Slade Ham on. You know what's another thing about Rob is people don't know he's a great cook.
Is he?
Yeah, he's an awesome cook. He's always coming up with great dishes.
He's my favorite hentai voiceover guy.
He does a lot of animated work, one said.
And, yes.
But yeah, he's a regular on Outlaw Dave Show. Heard 8 to 10 p.m. weekdays on KPRC Radio AM 950. And what time? He's on 7 to 9 on Saturdays?
7 to 9, yes.
They always move things around on Saturdays. So I remember it was like 11 o'clock and I had the radio and I was like, is that producer Kenny? Like,
yeah, he's got Pursuit of Happiness ready. He was the guest last week on the podcast.
Yeah, I listened to a little bit of it. He was talking about the bronies.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a great documentary if you haven't watched it.
It's very funny.
It's just weird.
Very interesting as
well. It's
very
strange, that culture. But you know what?
He did a really good job about like not being biased on it, but just kind of letting them tell the whole story.
But then they can look at mine like, oh, the craft beer culture. Oh, that's weird. Just a whole bunch of people getting drunk and
you know, it's like, whatever. Teach their
own. Fucking listen to it. I guess. Make your own opinion.
But yeah, this is fun, man. I'm going to do it again.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
What's on Tap Radio Sundays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time, 950 KPRC AM in Houston or on iHeartRadio anywhere.
Yeah. Also, Twitter.
At James in the Radio.
At James in the Radio. And follow us on What's on Tap Radio on Twitter, because really that's how I get my self-esteem boost. I see a shrink.
That's all we'll do.
And I lay on a couch weekly, and the shrink says, you know what? I bet you if you get more followers on Twitter and more likes on Facebook, I think you'll bounce out of this.
I think you may be
depression.
Going to be a horrible shrink.
Yeah. It is in a van on a beach. He's
and
cheap.
He may be lying to you.
And I pay him in beer and gift certificates to
That's
breweries.
That's not a real shrink.
But yeah, we're also on iTunes, so subscribe to it. When also, you know, listening to Pass the Gravy, as soon as this podcast is done, go
listen to
search What's on Tap Radio and subscribe to it. And also, we're on Spreaker. That's another. We're trying to make it as easy as possible. But
so KPFCradio.com.
I always tell people, if you can't find us, you're not looking hard enough. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Go out there and do it.
So, I appreciate it. I got to get out of here. Thanks. Thanks for everyone. Love the Pass the Gravy.
Pass the Gravy, bitches. She called me late last night, saying she loved me so. Didn't matter anymore. I say she never cared and that she never will. Do it all again. Changed her mind. Well, I should have known it wouldn't be alright. But I can't live without her, so I won't even try. If I get drunk, well, I'll pass out on the floor now, baby. You won't bother me no more. If you're drinking, well, you know that you're my friend, and I'll say, I think I'll have myself a beer. She said she'd do it all again. She promised not to tell.